Hebrews chapter 9. You ever feeling poorly looking at the outlook of things? Boy, go practice smiling or something. You gotta. I don't remember the last time I heard a liberal tell a joke that was funny. Them people are killing humor. It's all going down. Told my wife, driving in tonight, I said, they're killing all the racist jokes. You know how many Polish jokes got told when I was in school?
Yeah.
You can't say that now. You're like, you're against Polish people. No, I'm not. I would tell people, being in the Christian school and having Russians, Moldovans, Ukrainians, Mexicans, Chinese, Americans, black kids, the only jokes that were funny were the racist jokes. And they weren't mean. It was just when something came up missing, you're looking at the Mexican brother saying, what'd you do with that, you know? And they're like, come on, quit profiling us. And we laughed, but it was just, it was just funny. We would look at because the border thing's been going on for a while. You just look at them like, can't you guys do anything? You tell them to stop. You can talk like you. They understand you. But my soul. They can't even smile. They don't smile. They look cranky. And like, man. The best is yet to come. Don't listen to them. They're trying to just, demolish everything and doing their best at it. And it's a pretty impressive rate of speed they're doing it, working on that filibuster. So we'll see what happens there. You go back just a couple of years and you listen to them when they're on the minority plane. Please don't. We can't do this. And now it's the other way around. We're going to do it. It's like, oh, boy, better watch out. It's not good. All those things are cyclical. They all swing. And we're just getting ready to do this big swing back. And the thing that I don't worry about, but I watch out for the church, if we get caught up into not everybody that's conservative loves Jesus. You got to understand that. It's not that way. So you hear these people, I heard some people today, and we got to do this. We can't be quiet. We got to quit turning the other cheek and all stuff. And I'm just like, no. Jesus never stormed buildings. He never went and yelled people down and censored people. Let the quacks speak. It should be obvious. And if there's people that would stand and take in what they have to say, it should be obvious what our relationship should be with them. Listen to what they have to say. Oh, you're sadly mistaken. And we need to stick with the Bible. And we need to stick with the Lord and follow no matter what anybody's saying. And as far as vaccine and all that stuff goes, that's between you and the Lord and your family. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, you need to do this, you don't need to do this. I know President Trump got on last night, he was on Fox, and he said he just encouraged people to take it, and Dr. Fauci was wanting him to do that. I don't know if he did it because of that. I don't know, but I'm not crazy about it. They're breaking everything up into groups, and so 49% of Trump supporting white males, isn't that a group, are saying no to a vaccine. How did they know? They didn't even ask me and they got it right. I'm just like, I'm feeling good. I just feel bad. I feel bad. I just do. I feel bad. I think I don't like it. I don't know. I've gotten one flu shot in my life. And I think it was, I can't remember. Nolan was born. They're all fall babies. Well, how'd that work? I can't remember. I got it at work, and they said, hey, go on the fourth floor of and get a flu shot. He said, it doesn't cost you anything. Just go down and get it. It's okay. And they're like, oh, if you got any newborn, it's like, yeah, we do have a baby. It's like, oh, yeah. The only one I've got. And I was like, I don't know. You ever get shots and you get, do the British people call them jabs? I was listening to an Irish guy today talk about a jab, and I was like, I think that's the shots. I think it's what they say. They talk about it being a jab. They had a few people from Ireland. Well, you think we got it bad? Well, poor people in Ireland. What a mess. They're still stuck inside. They all want to go to church. They want to go to church for Easter. They want to go to church for stuff. They still haven't gotten out yet. They're about to pull their hair out. And I was like, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I worried about variant strains. Oh, it's gonna be free states and not free states. It's just gonna be that way. But Hebrews chapter 9. Yeah, we don't want to lock that. I said that driving up because they're advertising for Easter already. And I said, we didn't get to have Easter together last year. That was not fun. Verse 1, Hebrews 9, verily the first covenant. We've been comparing the Lord Jesus and the Old Testament to the New Testament and looking at this word covenant. We've looked at a better sacrifice. We've looked at a better chapter 7, looking at a better priesthood that we see in Christ. And that's why we had to go to the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, because it's before the Aaron's priesthood, before that order. And then now in chapter number 9, we're going to see the better covenant and see the ordinances and things that take place. But somebody that could go and deliver the last blood that the Lord, the Father would need. And we're going to have to jump. We'll have time here. We'll make sure we got time to jump back to John 20. There's only a spot in the Gospels that shows it. After Jesus rose from the dead, where did he go? Where did he go? Father, we pray that you would help us tonight. We pray that you would use your word. Lord, we do thank you for our nation. Father, we do pray for our leaders. We pray for health, for wisdom, Father, for sanity. We just pray for people to, Father, want to do right according to something other than their idea of what right is. Father, that they'd have a standard. Lord, we do pray that people look to the Word of God. I thank you for people on TV talking about the Bible and speaking about the Word of God, being a help and a blessing and encouragement, and I pray that you would use that. And we do thank you for all the influences out there, and I pray that you'd help our voice and our testimony as well to be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Verse number 2, for there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. So we're going to compare tabernacles here in chapter 9. And this one's talking about the tent tabernacle that Moses built, the one they'd set up and where they would worship in, where Aaron would, where they'd do their business for the Lord. Everything in there was representation. The first room here we'll talk about in a second you come into is the sanctuary. So, I mean, if this building was set up like the tent, we call this the sanctuary, and this is what it was. It's where people could go in. It was the sanctuary. But then there was a veil where the high priest only went in one time a year, and that was called the Holy of Holies, or the Holiest, and he would enter in, and he'd give an offering for himself, but that was the next room in. It was the next room in. And some of the things that were different, the instruments from the sanctuary room to that room, all representative of different things. The Bible says, verse 3, after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. I always think about, Aaron's rod that budded. Any old snow shovel handle, broom handle, just hard as that, picking something out that would bud would just be, what in the world? And I just look at it as God taking something dead and making it alive again. But I don't know if there's any more to it than that, but I just see that as one of the themes, one of the things that God does. The tables of the covenant, that Moses had the Ten Commandments, those things. All these, some of them instruments, you look at some of them, these sacred things, they were symbolic. I mean, if people were holding the Ten Commandments today, there would people be going to them and doing pilgrimages to them to just be next to them type of thing. It'd be all kinds of weirdness going on. But anyhow, verse 5. And over it, the cherubim of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests were always in the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. So the first part there, the sanctuary, they were there. Verse 7, the Bible says, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood. So he was taking in a blood offering, which he offered for for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure of the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks, divers washings, carnal ordinances, imposed on them until the time of reformation. That's not talking about the reformation like we hear about in the history books, but it's just talking about a time where things were going to be set right, things would be changed. Now, again, people that they don't spend time in the Bible, they don't come to church, they've never been in Sunday school, they don't listen, they get a little bit of this, and it's why it's so important, discipleship is so important for young Christians, that they come and they learn and they read and you help them and you take all the questions that you tell them. There's no bad questions, there's no dumb questions. Ask. Well, why don't we kill animals anymore? That would be kind of weird, you know, but I thought, why don't we do it anymore? Why don't we do these things anymore? And you talk about the pictures that they represented. Now, it was God's word back then, and if nothing had changed, if we were still waiting for him to come to pay for our sins on the cross, we'd still be doing those things that they did back then. But it's past now. And the Bible says, verse 11, Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, when we look at books like 2 Corinthians, these different books that talk about who we are in Christ and our identity that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's one of these things about the identity culture. Oh, I identify with this, and I'm feeling like this. And there's nobody out there saying, boy, I identify in the Lord Jesus. Well, really? Because he got put on a cross. That's right. That's why we're not looting and burning. This isn't our home. This isn't our kingdom. And if everybody could just take a glimpse into glory, they'd have some thoughts. They think, man, this stuff that we're getting all fired up about is not that important. We should be looking to Jesus. We should be looking towards His kingdom and not fighting over dirt, fighting over stuff that's not going to matter. Let's jump back to John 20 just real quick. I want to show you. This goes with this verse. I was reading through, studying, and there's just one little passage here I wanted to share, otherwise we'd stay right there. But John chapter 20, and there's three or four verses around verse 17. Verse 11, I'll back up just a little bit, give some context here. As this time of year is coming, Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Now, sometimes when you read and you look and say, well, I thought the angel was outside. I thought the angel, I saw a picture and he was sitting up on the tomb. You know, I just, one of the... one of the not so good media outlets the other night, one of the guys said, if America's going to get right or gets on track, they need to first realize Jesus was black. And I just said, what's that have to do with anything? And I said, if you could go all around the world and look at people that are Jews, I said, it's not a religion, it's ethnicity. They're all colors. They're all kinds of colors. And Sebastian Gorka was just tearing him up and down. I felt bad for him. I said, what does that have to do with anything? I bet he looked like a Jew. That's what I bet he looked like. But just because you say, well, what about the angel? Or about the, it's the Word of God. Could have been an angel outside. Could have been two inside. The Bible here says there's two inside. So if you look in one of the other Gospels, and it says there was, you know, one outside. I know this. Roman soldiers were where? The Bible says they're falling down like dead men, right? So we know that. The Bible says, see, two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. Right? I mean, following really close to the Lord, right? Ah, he's just the gardener. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I mean, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if Jesus would have said 3 days and three nights, I don't know what I'd have been expecting, but I've been expecting something. I mean, I think I would have been. The Bible says, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. I mean, she's going to carry off Jesus' body so she can bury it. I mean, she loved him. She wanted to make sure, but he's not dead. 16, Jesus said to her, Mary, she turneth herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. And this is where I was getting at for this passage with our Hebrews. For I am not yet ascended to my Father. Okay? So the priests would kill the animals, right? And they'd dismember them according to the Bible, according to Leviticus, according to the law. They'd cut them apart. They'd take the fat. They'd do this. They'd take this part of the animal and get rid of it outside of the camp. It would go out here. They'd take this and use it for that. And it's all there. You can read it. See what they would do with it. Take the blood and blood was applied. Okay? So Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, okay, first had to be slain, right? Just like Abel, just like the animals that were made coats of skins, we're getting there on Sunday night here eventually, didn't do anything wrong, right? But became a covering, became a sacrifice for them. Blood had to be blood in it, right? The vegetables weren't going to cut it. It had to be innocent blood. And so he's done that part now. He was the lamb. He was the one that was, he wasn't, again, body, bones not broken, but he was, the Bible says his visage was so marred, right? And he didn't look like a human. And he did that for us. And then, dead, risen from the dead, and now he's going to go and finish. He has to take that blood and go finish. And I won't waste 5 minutes talking about him going back up to the cross and getting the blood out of the ground or any weird thing like that. However he had it, he took it. Where is he going with it? Where does it have to go? Who is he appeasing? He's got to appease the Father, right? It has to go for us, right? And so he tells Mary, don't touch me, for I'm not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and your Father. And to my God and your God. Say, well, wait a minute. I thought the book of Acts is when he ascended and he left. Yes, he did. But first he has to go and make the payment. First he has to go and have the blood applied and appease the Father. He has to do that first. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. And they all believed her, right? No, that's not how it went. And that he had spoken these things unto her. The Bible says in verse 19, then the same day at evening. Why? Because she went. At what time? She went in the morning, right? She went early. She got all day, okay? All day. Being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, and for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you, right? A lot of traveling that day for the Lord. Hey, but this is what happened. This is what took place. So why are you showing us all that? Because it's a picture. The Old Testament was a picture. He did it the same way they did it, except he is better than what took place then. Not different, better. And that is the one of the main themes here in Hebrews, saying, well, I'm hanging on to my my worldly righteousness and my ordinances and the thing. I'm not you people, but I mean the people we help. There's people all over the place that they want to be righteous people. Get rid of that stuff. Get Christ's righteousness. We have none of our own. Has to be imputed righteousness from Christ. I need to trust Jesus Christ. That's what people, they don't have an Brother Don and Misty, I appreciate you going through Romans Road with the kids. They've been answering all kinds of questions, so we've been talking about it. And you know, and I told the kids, I said, one of the hard things in life is when you're witnessing to somebody, Miss Dieta, is to get them to figure out they're lost. They're just like, well, I don't know what's wrong. Everything's good. I feel great. You know, I go to church. I was baptized as a, you know, and see, done this, and you couldn't get them. They couldn't fill out half a sheet of paper on whys and put a Bible verse down next to it. I mean, it's kind of like the liberals. You know, why are you doing what you do? You put down which part of the Constitution you're using to make the decision you are here. And it, well, we're just kind of just doing what we feel like doing. We're in charge. I was elected. And that's all that matters, right? Name some of your districts. When's the last time you went back and visited all them good people in the where you're from? And you need to have answers. You've got to have answers. You think you're going to stand before the Lord and be like, well, no, you've got to have answers. And we know we're not good enough. That's why Jesus had to come. He took that blood and he came back down and he scared some disciples half to death. Bible says he stood in the midst. I mean, there in the room, right? Now he's in his glorified body. He didn't have to knock and use the door. He comes in and he goes out. I will be able to do that, I think. I don't know, but it's going to be awesome. Be neat to see. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, the Bible says. 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Like, how effective is Jesus' blood? Think about it. And that's what I would urge people. I almost wish you could, but I don't. You go against the Bible. You can't force people to love God. You can't force people. But I say, man, think about it. Think about it. Think about what, I mean, we just don't think about them enough. When you think about them a lot and you just, I mean, you give up time and just spend time. I mean, you could be driving. I'm weird and I can drive for hours and not say a word, not listen to anything. Just look. I can do that. I just drive and drive and drive. And go to the Delta the other day and no one's sleeping, so I just drove and stared. A lot of stuff to see. You know, there was a lot of white stuff I hadn't seen. I'd try to imagine it without snow on it and stuff. It was like, incredible. You just can't go very far in this world and say, wow, Lord, unbelievable. Unbelievable. How much more shall the blood of Christ, the Bible says, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, I don't have a testimony of where I lived for my, you make a decision when, that's usually how it goes. You make a decision when you're young, you rebel or do your own thing for a while and then you figure it out, or you never do figure it out. Or you're younger and you don't have the opportunity to be in church. Nobody invites you to church. Nobody's ever told you about Jesus. And then somebody invites you to come to church, a friend, you go to camp, whatever. You hear the gospel and then you make a decision. And then you see some big changes in your life because you're older making those decisions. The majority of salvation decisions are in that 20 years old and younger. Most of them 15 years old and younger. Most of them 10 years old and younger. A lot of them. As you get older, there's just less decisions made because we've already made up what we think. And older people, we just struggle to humble ourselves and say, I'm not as smart as what I think I am. But it's not us against our neighbor. It's us against the God of heaven, the Creator, saying, this is what I ask of you. This is what I'd have you to do. 15, for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament. Because he's the one that shed the blood. He's the mediator. He's the one. He's the sacrifice. He gets to decide. The Bible says that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And I praise the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call. Some people don't believe that. I believe that. It's in the Bible there. And Philippian jailer can't tell me he was one of the lucky ones. He's one that cared. He asked. He says, what must I do? Then you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you can be saved. Your house can be saved. Your relatives can be saved. Your neighbors could be saved. They could all be saved if they choose to make that decision. The Bible says in verse 16, we're almost done tonight. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law. He took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God had enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. You hear preachers say or use the words under the blood of Christ, right? We don't go around doing the sprinkling the blood thing. But in his day, they didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the blood of bulls and goats, and it was an atonement. It was a covering for a time till the perfect sacrifice was given. So what did he do? He put them under it. He put the blood on top of them. It was symbolic. I mean, I don't think he went throughout all Israel and sprinkled every last inch of the place, but it was symbolic, saying you're under this blood. And whoever decided to be under there and to be under it, they were accepting that. It was a decision, just like Abraham. He had to make a choice. God asked him to do something, and he said, I'm going to do it. The Bible says his faith was counted unto him for righteousness' sake. We decide to make a choice to trust Jesus. Our faith is counted for righteousness' sake. That doesn't mean what you do. God looks down at your heart and sees what you think. He sees right through our phoniness. He sees right through the veneer and all the fake everything. Fake stuff drives me crazy. I'd rather have you be who you are, right? Then we can talk, right? People that try to, have a front that's so bad, it's like, well, if I'm this bad, then you won't talk to me. I don't really care. I don't really care. It's okay. There's a person in there. That's the one I want to talk to. That's the one I want to see. That's the one I want to figure out. Why you hurt? What's wrong? You know, what was it like growing up? How was your life? What is your thing? We say life's a long time, and it's not. Life's not a long time. It's short, and there's just a handful of events in your life that really shape your whole life and your thinking. Just a few things, a handful of things, right? And you get these things happen, these events happen, you're traumatic or whatever, and you're like, oh, I can never go back into church, or I can never, and then the devil's just, man, he's in that, and he's just, man, they stay away from there. To figure out, what is that thing? What is in there that makes you hurt the way you do? Because this blood that the Lord has given for us can take care of that, can make you a forgiver. People aren't using the word forgive. They're going to get theirs in return. They're going to get people back. We're trying to policy that right now in our country. It is insane. You can't policy people to love another group of people. You need to quit. The liberal side of the state, we're against racism. I couldn't imagine looking at people and hating them just for how they are. That is so anti-Christ, it's unbelievable. It's ridiculous. I mean, there was guys last night on the news saying the problem, and I don't care that I don't care. I am what I am. God made what I am. The problem with the U.S. is white men. Thinking like, Lord. I was joking. I was just joking. I just think it's funny how, Joe Biden's a white guy. Why didn't you run Kamala Harris for president of the United States? Because you knew better, racist people. It's terrible. I mean, they're predictable. It's easy. Oh, we're not rich. We're not. And you look at these people and say, man, I don't like them for who they are. I couldn't imagine that. Now, I might not be able to speak to them, but man alive, people are interesting. You go places in the world, I mean, there's places. And again, you know, if you really believe that, let's get rid of all of it. Let's stop talking about color. That's all they want to do. Shades and this and nothing. You're not helping this out. I mean, they're showing one of the, what is it, Columbia University in New York, or 6 different graduations, one for every group up here. I didn't grow up in segregation, but some people did. I mean, it was a big deal. I mean, why would you split people up like that? I try to teach my kids, look, you look at people, and there's no difference between this group of people, this group of people. And man, I get on in the summertime, we're starting school, so those kids come to school, and they're new, just like you guys were new, and no friends, and they're scared to death. Be nice to them. And if I hear, because I go talk to teachers, I talk to principals, if I say, hey, what is my kid doing? I said, if I catch wind that you're not doing what you're supposed to do, and it's not going to be good. You help people. Man alive, I'd want to come to America. If I was eating dirt and I had kids and I knew there were jobs, I mean, I would want to come. But look at all the, I know a lot of good folks that have come from south of the border the right way and done it the right way. And they're outstanding people. And I'm thinking, that's what we are. That's what we are. And they should, I feel bad for them, because you got people, I mean, you ever go to the amusement park and you wait an hour for a ride, and here comes somebody with one of them speed passes, and they just zip to the front, and you don't know they got it. You just think like their cousin's running the stick or something, and they get to jump ahead of everybody, and they don't have to wait. And it's like, man, that's a bummer. Ted Cruz said last night, or yesterday, I was listening to Ted Cruz, he said when President Obama was in office, the Department of Homeland Security, the secretary told him that coyotes would take kids, they'd bring them, and once they got to the U.S., they'd take a kid, give them a knife, have them take another kid, and cut off an ear, cut off a finger. They'd mail it back to the parents and say, we got your kid here. Now, if you want him alive, you're going to give us another X number of dollars. And that was President Obama's Secretary of Homeland Defense saying that. 13,000 unaccompanied. Somebody said, come. Now today somebody said, you know, hold up, or whatever he said. I just, not good. But they're people. If we were down there, right, it'd be interesting being in Texas. They got so much going on. They got dead fish, and they had winter, and now they're in summer. Now they're closed, and now they're open. Now they're overrun. I was just thinking, I had a thought the other day. It says, they would send money to the closest church down there and say, go and help some of these people. Go help them. Just make sure they're safe. Go help them. They're going to take all these kids. I mean, they're putting them in NASA centers, all kinds of stuff, building fences and caging them up. And just, there's got to be a way to just be there and help them. Show the love of Christ to these people. I mean, think about it. Salvation, young age, somewhere where you don't know anybody, and hear a face, and somebody comes and just friendly to you. So, man, what an opportunity. That seems like, that would be an opportunity. Man, it's frustrating from the other sides, but man, like, they are people. They're people. Bible says, verse 23, it was necessary, therefore necessary, that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And I don't want to be down here doing my own thing, being an idiot, treating people unkindly, ungodly, and then, oh, hi, Lord. No. Do it here. And I said that the temptation is going to be, we need to go to... No, we don't. We need to show the love of Christ until the Lord comes. It's going to pay. It's one of those things where you put a game plan together and you've seen it work, but you got all these 15 and 16 year old kids trying to help you. And you stick with the plan. Don't do your own thing. Just trust me. Trust me. It's 3 hours. We're not going to win or lose on one play. It's 3 hours of this, right? And halftime comes and you're down. No. Stick with it. You know, the guys start chipping on their team. And you know, and that's how where we're at. We need to stay the course. We can't get off it now and be like, well, we had this and his are not. No, we have the Bible. We have the Bible. Just stick to it. Encourage people along the way. I couldn't imagine being conservative-minded without Christ in America. You'd be a frustrated person, angry every day. I don't know. I mean, if I'm not looking to the Lord, I could get upset. I'm thinking, Lord, it's terrible. Man alive, people, and an opportunity to be a testimony. We have a great opportunity. Father, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for your word. And Lord, we do pray for these young people. We pray for the churches in Texas. Lord, I know there are people that are helping. I know there are. And we just see the secular side of things like that, Lord. But I do pray that you bless those that are trying to reach out and be a help and a blessing. We do pray for the families of folks, Lord. We do pray for safety. Ask that you do a work. We do pray for salvation of the lost, Father. We pray that you bless our prayer requests tonight. Pray that you would use us, Lord, in the lives of others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.